Roll call for Wednesday, February 13th. Anderson?
Here.
Allman?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Zakaria?
Here.
Fecht?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Job?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Larson? Massey,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Mockler,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Scott,
here.
Sessions,
here.
Townsend,
here.
Basie,
here.
Von Flatern,
here.
President Schiffer,
here.
Meyer,
here.
30 present.
May I have a prayer? Father, would you like to lead us?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, creator of the universe, you made the stars, the moon, and the sun. You made the earth, the sea, and the sky, and all that inhabit them. You made human beings in your own image and likeness and gave us dominion over all creation. Bless us with your creative powers this day as we set about our task of addressing the budget, appropriations, resolutions, and other legislation. In our actions, let us see ourselves as co-workers with you in seeking to bring about what is good for all the people of Wyoming. May we be blessed with insight and understanding, with wisdom and good judgment, with patience and compassion, so what we craft may not just serve the good of individuals, but the common good of all our citizens. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading and correction and approval of the journal. While the reading, clerk, please read the journal committee report.
Mr. Vice President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 12th, 2008, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Scott, Senator Perkins, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, then the report is adopted. The doctor of the day is Dr. Jeremy Eaton from Cheyenne, and we would welcome him. Thank you, Doctor. I would also say that we have some nurses with us today giving their able assistance. We have Carol Mason. She's from the Campbell County Memorial Hospital. Thank you, and I think in this section I would be remiss if we didn't wish one of our very capable members a happy birthday, and happy birthday, Senator Sessions. Of the day is that a synonym is a word that you use when you can't spell the other one. I find myself in that position quite often. Messages from the House.
February the 12th, 2008, from the House of Representatives, message number 100. Motion to reconsider passed. Mr. President, after a successful motion to suspend House Rule 24-12, the motion to reconsider the vote to introduce House Joint Resolution 2 passed the House by the vote indicated. House Joint Resolution Number 2, Senior Citizens Property Tax Relief, ayes 51, noes 9, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. February the 12th, 2008, from the House of Representatives, message number 101, motion to reconsider passed. Mr. President, after a successful motion to suspend House Rule 24-12, the motion to reconsider the vote to introduce House Bill 37 passed the House by the vote indicated. House Bill number 37, Senior Citizens Property Tax Relief Program. Ayes 47, noes 13. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Introduction and reading and references of bills. Senate File 40, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 40, Uniform Trust Code Amendment, sponsored by Senator Ross, an act relating to the Uniform Trust Code.
Senator Ross. If you'll give us a moment, I think the malady that was in the printers yesterday has made its way up to the front. It doesn't evidently recognize my more tender touch, I guess. I think that we're going. Okay, we've got it. What did you do? Use the mouse?
Yeah.
Well, I can use the mouse.
I'm on now.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move for introduction Senate File 40, Uniform Trust Code Amendments. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill comes as a result of last year we had a very large bill that provided amendments to the Uniform Trust Code. And this is some cleanup language that has resulted as a result, has come about as a result of some issues with the Department of Health. And I'll explain the issues as we go through here. Last year we created what's called Qualified Spendthrift Trusts. Made some amendments to that. There are some trusts that that are in the area of what we call special needs trusts that are created for the benefit of disabled individuals, where the money is used for their care, and at the end of the on their death, that money is then paid to Medicaid, the Office of Health, the Department of Health. For whatever reason, the administrator of the of that Medicaid and compliance has determined that these special needs trusts need to be qualified spendthrift trusts, which they don't need to be, and under federal law, there's no need for it. All it does is add expense to those that are trying to create those for their disabled loved one, and then. So what this basically does is this bill takes and specifies that these special needs trusts don't need to be qualified spendthrift trusts. And that's pretty much the genre of the bill. Other than there is on page 4 of the bill with regards to dates in which trusts and when they are created and when the law that we passed last year applies. And this was in reference to a case that the good representative that is my co-sponsor on this had recently wherein they applied retroactively the law to previous trusts. And so we wanted to make sure we clear that up so that we all are operating on the same pages with regards to trust. So I'd urge your favorable consideration of this bill.
Chief Clerk, will please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dicaria.
Aye.
Becht.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Massey. Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Vasey.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Schiffer.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 conflict.
Having received the necessary two-thirds for introduction, Senate File 40 will be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 71, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 71, Hathaway Scholarship Program Success Curriculum, sponsored by Senator Schiffer. An act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program.
Senator Schiffer, would you like to present the bill?
Mr. President, I move for introduction of Senate File 51. What this bill does is includes American Sign Language as a qualifier for the Hathaway Scholarship. Mr. Vice President will recall that there is a requirement for 2 years of a foreign language. What this does is say is American Sign Language will qualify as the foreign language requirement for that scholarship. What we have happening is students, because they are hearing impaired, American Sign Language is its own language. They have to go out and learn another foreign language through American Sign Language to qualify for those higher levels of scholarship. They're good students. They do want to go to college. What happens is they have to go for a lower-level scholarship because they can't meet that foreign language requirement. That's what the bill does. I hope you'll treat it favorably.
Thank you, Mr. President. Chief Clerk, will please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman. Allman. Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper. Dicaria,
aye.
Becht,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Job,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson, Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler, Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions, Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Schiffer,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Larson, aye. Mockler, aye. Closing vote, closing vote closed, 30 ayes.
Having received the majority vote, Senate File 71 has passed introduction and will be referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Members, I would caution you to remain in your seat. These votes on these introductory bills requiring two-thirds are pretty critical. So I would ask that you all stay in your seats as much as possible. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 74. Reading Clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 74, Traditional Birth Care, sponsored by Senator Johnson, an act relating to the Medical Practice Act.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I would move introduction of Senate File 74 and ask for your favorable vote. I'm bringing this bill before you at the request of a group that of my constituents in eastern Laramie County. They believe in home births and midwife births as part of their religion, but accept that if a midwife decides that there is a medical problem with that baby, that they'll go into the hospital with an obstetrician. But home births and natural births have been around millions of years for the human race, and they just consider that part of their lifestyle. The problem is somebody can be a midwife now. That's entirely acceptable in Wyoming. They just can't charge. And the people that have qualified by completing the requirements established by the North American Registry of Midwives for Certified Professional Midwives, that's how they make their living. And right now, the people in Wyoming who want to go and have successful home birth, midwife birth, and don't want to break the law, go out of state. All of those in Laramie County go down to Colorado, where the certified midwives are allowed to assist in birth, and they do. And they would prefer that they be able to come up here into Wyoming and assist. And this is not only a problem in my area. There are communities all around the state that believe in midwife births at home and using certified midwives from the American Registry. Now, if you look at the bill, the midwives cannot advertise or hold themselves out to practice medicine, doesn't perform any other acts except delivering or assisted in the delivery of infants and management of pregnancy and parturition. And they register with the state board so that the state board knows who is practicing midwifery in this state and getting paid for it. And again, they have to qualify under the North American Registry of Midwives, which is a formal education plus going somewhere. And most of them in this state will go into Colorado or New Mexico for an internship. So I would ask your support on this for our communities that want to have it done in our state in their homes. Thank you.
Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Vecht.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job. Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Larson.
No.
Massey.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler. Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
No.
Scott.
No.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Basie.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
No.
President Schiffer.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 18 ayes, 12 noes.
Senate File 74, having failed to receive a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 74 is indefinitely postponed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business for consideration of bills on general file. You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion is carried. Senator Jennings, would you please approach the desk?
What's going on is you have to use the mouse. And what I do is locate the person before there and just click the mouse.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration
is Senate File 3. Will the clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 3, Game and Fish Funding, sponsored by the Travel Committee. An act relating to game and fish. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Allman, Burns, Cole, Massey, and Mockler, Senator Burns, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rouses to report to do so with a favorable recommendation for Senate File 3, there are no amendments, and to give a further explanation of the bill, I would ask that you call on Senator Massey.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a pretty easy and basic bill that's in front of us right now. It's an interim committee bill, and essentially it requires the Game and Fish Department to bifurcate the funding that is provided to it from the state of Wyoming through the general fund. In other words, it needs to keep it into a separate account, to account for it separately. It cannot use those funds for other operations within the Game and Fish Department. And while they may move funds from other areas, other non-state funds, including licensing funds, into the program that the state funds, they can't move the state funds into other areas. And as I mentioned, they need to account for it. That's essentially what subsection D, Mr. Chairman, states on pages 3 and 4. The rest of the bill is conforming language. There is no fiscal note per se with the bill. Folks will notice that there is a fiscal note that's attached that appears to be a transfer of $605,000. In reality, because of this bill, the Game and Fish is now required to account for the general fund money that is going to it. But there is no appropriation with this bill. The state has provided general fund money to the Game and Fish most recently. It proposes to do so again, but that's in the budget bill and is not contained in this particular bill. I'd be glad to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the bill. President Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, as I understand this bill, and where it establishes a general fund account, or really a general fund budget for game and fish, my understanding is that if there's any money left over in at the end of the biennium, it should revert back to the general fund. That's the standard. But I want to be sure of that, and my question is, have you discussed that with the staff at Game and Fish, and do they understand that that's the way this account will work? And my second question is, do we need to specifically give them guidance in that area?
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That particular question and subject did not come up during the discussions. I thought, and I believe that it's covered in line 17, page 3, in references to the budget process and the biennial budget process of 9-2-10-10 and 9-2-10-14.1. However, if it's not clear, then that would certainly be a friendly amendment to put into the bill to make it very clear that that money does revert, just like it does for any state agency when general fund money is appropriated.
Any additional discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 3, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 3 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for consideration is Senate File 4.
Senate File 4, Foreclosure Redemption Periods, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivision, that reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, DeCarrier, Larson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Larson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise report it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 4 and that further reading be dispensed with. What this bill does only, if you can see on line 15, is change the redemption period. Actually, it doesn't change the redemption period, but it changes the definition of agricultural real estate from 20 acres to 80 acres. As most of you know and are aware, that the redemption period for agricultural real estate is longer. And that's fine and that's appropriate. But what's happened is many of these places have been divided into smaller acreages and now have little homes and ranchettes on them. It makes it difficult and more expensive. So this is a consumer-friendly bill and more expensive because very often secondary market financing is not available because of the extended redemption period on these small parcels that now have houses on them. So this bill was brought to the Corporations Committee on behalf of the Wyoming bankers to enable to have these parcels that now will be up to 80 acres that have been in 20 acres to obtain the same kind of financing that other people have at a lower rate, and it does not mean that the banks, or if they're foreclosed on, people buying them and selling them and so on, have to wait that additional time. It does not affect agriculture over 80 acres. It does nothing for that, but would make these available for the secondary market at lower rates for those people borrowing the money to finance it, and would improve the ability to resale afterward should some of them have to be foreclosed on. So I would urge your appropriation, again, changing only 20 acres to 80 acres, and it should be a very good thing for consumers and people borrowing money on these kinds of property.
Thank you, Senator Larson. Discussion on the bill. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. And I'd like to have a little more discussion on why 80 acres instead of 60 or instead of 90. Was there any rationale the committee had in terms of coming up with that?
Senator Bebout, I'm sorry. Could you use your microphone so everybody out there in the rest of the world can hear you?
All I want, Mr. Chairman, is Senator Larson to hear me. Senator Larson. The question I have is, could you give a little more reasoning and rationale why 80 acres?
Senator Larson?
Mr. Chairman, quite frankly, no. This was the bill that was brought on behalf of the people working on this, and they felt that getting it out of the small acreages, the 20, and moving it up to the 80, it was done, is my understanding, and somebody on the committee can help me, it is my understanding that it was done through a study of where it would have the most effect and do the most good. But as far as I know, there was no magic in not going to 70 or 90 or 100 or whatever, but 80 acres was picked because the information that we had received is that will encompass most of the transactions and give you a little more room over the 20-acre parcels that are being done out there now. But so basically the rationale is no, other than that's what they decided was the threshold.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, it's 240s, and I suspect that's the reason that the 80 acres was picked, just in the nature of our land survey. It'll be a fairly common parcel size. You could make an argument maybe we ought to go to 85 or 90. That wouldn't do any harm, but I'm pretty sure that's why it was picked.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Like question I'd have is, are the assessors going to be able to assess all these little 40-acre ranchettes now as non-agricultural ground and increase the tax base of Laramie County and all the other counties, or does this have anything to do with taxes, and was there any consideration about some of the uniformity that we lack in our statutes? We've got one statute coming in at 140 acres for subdivisions. We've got this one at 80, and we may have another one on, I think, for taxes on agricultural as far as a definition that says you have so many thousand dollars worth of income, and then it's ag ground. So I'm just wondering if was there any discussion about the uniformity or lack thereof?
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think the two are related. I can't tell you that there is no relationship. This deals strictly with the financing thereof. If you read page 2, you'll see that all of these things have been agreed to in the mortgage, the heirs, executors, et cetera, and that it really has no effect on any other determination from any government body, except that the redemption period on a forfeited loan is there. Therefore, it requires generally more difficult and higher rate financing when the loan is taken out in the beginning.
Additional discussion? Are you ready? A question being called? All those in favor of Senator Larson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 4, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 4 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 9. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate File Number 9, State Retirement Board of Immunity, sponsored by the Management Audit Committee. Number 7.
You heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Case?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if the reading clerk's microphone was on.
It was not.
Yeah, but I would. I'm not a tattletale. I would like to move Senate File 9, State Retirement Board Immunity. There is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 9, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 12.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've moved this Standing Committee Amendment, and I would yield to Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman, what Senate File 9 does, it goes into the State Retirement Board and deals with the immunity of the members that are serving on the board. The crux of the bill is over at the top of page 2. And Mr. Chairman will recall during the general session in 2007, the legislature passed the Wyoming Governmental Claims Act, which was a very broad bill, one of those kind of packaged bills that we get. And we customized many parts of that bill when we worked it in previous sessions. But one of the areas that we did not get to in the 2007 session is this idea of immunity for board members. And what this does in subparagraph E, starting on page 2, line 1, for board members in the retirement board, that they have immunity from liability for their decisions when they're administering and operating the retirement system, and that they are not personally liable for any breaches of fiduciary duties. In our deliberations, we found this was the only board that had that type of personal liability. Mr. Chairman will recall these are volunteers who do this. They're very dedicated to the retirement system and to keeping it sound, but to place personal liability for their financial system, which And Mr. Chairman will also recall the retirement system can invest in equities. We've all seen what can happen to the value of equities here in the last 30 days or so. It just seems that personal liability is inappropriate. It does say, and I'm going on, starting on line 10, that if by willful misconduct or gross negligence, then they would be liable. That's a whole different category. In view, the Standing Committee has been moved. I would ask for consideration and a vote on the Standing Committee, and I support the Standing Committee amendment, and I ask for a vote on that at this time.
Discussion on the Standing Committee Amendment number one. All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment number one, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The amendment has passed. Back on the bill. Any question being called? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 9, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File number 9 is passed. The next bill on our agenda is Senate File 63. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 63, Natural Resource Large Project Funding, sponsored by the Select Natural Resources Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. The report's back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Ullman, Burns, Cole, Massey, and Mockler, Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, do so with favorable recommendation on Senate File 63. There are no standing committee amendments on the bill, and to give a further explanation, I ask that you call on Senator Mockler.
Senator Mockler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yesterday, I think they put out two handouts, or they should have, which really summarize what the projects and how this bill has worked over the last couple of years. The first handout, which is the one-page one, shows you in just a glimpse what they've done and what the people of Wyoming have asked them to do and how successful this program has been. You'll notice that every single county has a project that's been accomplished or is being worked on by this program. This is the Natural Resources, Wildlife and Natural Resources Fund that we've created, that we've been doing quite a bit of adding to, and our goal to get it to about $100 million, even though some would like it higher. But it's an endowment that we've put together so that we have money to work to prohibit, not so much to prohibit, to maintain wildlife habitat, to maintain natural habitats for the protection of our wildlife and our natural resources. The bill is to continue the process where we've asked them every time they get to $200,000 or moving on to $200,000, passing that they come to us for approval of those projects. And you see through the bill itself, which I think is best summarized in the handout, what those projects that they've asked for this year are. I thought I could do it the same way we do the omnibus water bill, but I don't have the skill of the chairman of the Ag Committee, so I thought I would just instead let you look through those and see how successful we've been. The only repetition is the Bates Creek. It is one that that we have funded before, that would like to continue that funding. I think if you look at it, one of the things you'll see is that as we find success in these programs and that the matches are still there, that you really do find that we can move forward those and we're making quite an impact. I think some of the things that you also look at is that of the money and the projects that are there, we are only meeting 23% of the requests. So that really does show you that the interest of the people of the state of Wyoming in coming forward with their programs is truly there. The matching funds come from a variety of sources, from the different non-governmental entities that are out there to certainly some governmental entities within the local government and the state government through the game and fish and programs like that. It's truly just had the impact that we expected, and I think in a lot of ways even more. So barring any questions and going through the handout one by one, I really think this is something we should support. We've done a great job. This is one of the areas that we We've in the past recognized that this is one of the greatest things we've done for the trust of our natural resources and our wildlife, especially with the growth of the subdivisions and the ranchettes and the blocking of what are really one of the most valuable resources in terms of the corridors for wildlife movement and habitat. So these are worth protecting, and we would like you to continue the funding.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I just have a couple of questions, primarily on the easements. And I noticed on some of the easements, the reason given for doing the easement was to maintain a family ranch. And I don't recall whether or not that was one of the reasons we had in our legislation that we were supposed to subsidize ranching with the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund. I was wondering if anybody on the committee could tell me that that's the reason that these easements are being suggested is just basically to subsidize ranching.
Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, the reasoning on maintaining the family ranch is actually the more of the rationale and reasoning on the part of the landowners themselves in cooperating with the Wildlife Trust Fund and the other agencies and non-governmental agencies that are providing money for this. That's one of the beauties, frankly, of the Wildlife Trust Fund. Instead of imposing rules from above, such as the EPA and the federal government do, the Wildlife Trust Fund deals only cooperatively with landowners who want to preserve natural habitat and wildlife on the lands they own. In many cases, they do get money out of doing this, and in the case of these easements, that's how they can afford to do it. And in their cases, and in the case of the families, that's how they can preserve a family ranch also.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I apologize for not being quite up to speed on this whole process, but the question I have is on the easements. Are they every individual that has an easement, are they different in terms of the conservation, i.e. do some of them retain their minerals and have that right to have them explored for later? Or is it a blanket easement that everybody has the same treatment and does it the same way? Is there any kind of direction that the board gives these people when they come to them and say, I want to do an easement to protect wildlife, but yet I have to do certain things in order to do that?
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the question. It's a good question. Every conservation easement is different. They're handled on a case-by-case basis, but in no cases does it stop any sort of mineral development. In some easements that happens, but not in any of the easements that the Wildlife Trust Fund deals with. That's part of the statutory language in the formation of the Wildlife Trust Fund in the first place. If they're going to go with a conservation easement that restricts mineral exploration or extraction in any way, they can't go with this particular Wildlife Trust Fund. They have to go to something like the Nature Conservancy or something like that. State funds cannot be used for that sort of thing, and that's in the statutory language that set up the Natural Resources Trust Fund in the first place.
Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask the supporters of this legislation whether the state and the commission has any interest in owning the conservation easements or the rules governing the conservation easements apply to the Wildlife Trust Fund and the management of the conservation easement.
Senator Burns.
I'm sorry, I don't think if you could clarify the question, I think I might be able to answer better.
Senator Townsend.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to clarify the question.
my concern is that the Wildlife Trust Fund may be, or the state of Wyoming may be obligated to manage or monitor the conservation easements in which they put money in, and I was just concerned about the obligation of the state managing conservation easements in the guise of wildlife sanctuary.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, if I understand the question correctly, there is no infrastructure within the Wildlife Trust Fund itself to actively manage these. The Wildlife Trust Fund is actually and more of an enabler. Other agencies and individuals and so forth come to them to aid in these various projects. But once they're done, it's usually done, it's almost always done by other agencies and managed afterward by other agencies, be they families or whatever.
Any additional discussion? The question having been called, excuse me. Senator Perkins. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we did cover that in both the meetings with the Trust Fund Committee that was set up by the legislature as well as with our standing committee. It does depend upon the recourses that are in that specific agreement. But for the most part, you have recourse with regard to going to court to enforce it or just going to the person and saying you violated the agreement. And in either case, then, the funds that are invested in that easement are retrieved. On behalf of the state.
Having the question having been called, all those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 63, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 63 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 69. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 69, Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Amendment, sponsored by the Select Natural Resources Committee.
Having heard the reading of the bill, I'm sorry.
It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. The report's back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Allman, Burns, Cole, Massey, and Mockler. Senator Burns, Chairman.
Now you've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation for Senate File Number 69. There are no standing committee amendments, and to give a further explanation of the bill, I would ask that you call on Senator Coe.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. This is the companion bill to the bill that you saw, Senate File 63, that the good senator from Laramie County brought to you, which really had the projects in it. What this bill does, it comes in and clarifies the legislative approval project or process for project grants. You'll notice it down at the bottom of page one. It talks about a large project, meaning a project for which total of all grants, because we're going to go on to page two and three over here and see where we actually get to the gist of the bill. You can have projects that the legislature approves for $200,000. The project might be ongoing. They need to come back to us in this bill to get approved for another $200,000. That's all the bill does, and you can actually have it happen maybe two or three times out there. A good example of this is the Bates Creek project, which I believe is up in the good senator's area from Natrona County. But that's all the bill does. It says that the large projects in front of the legislature, once you hit the $200,000 threshold, you have to bring it back for further approval and reapproval. That's all the bill does. I'd ask for your approval of the bill.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question, or everybody I've heard referring to this keeps talking about if it's another $200,000. I guess where I'm having a little trouble is what happens if it's $200,088 or $200,005. Does it still, those small amounts have to come back for approval if they're not in increments of $200,000?
Senator Cobb.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think once it hits that threshold, once it passes that threshold, and I'll defer to the good chairman over there to confirm that, but I think it has to hit the next $200,000 threshold.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is a good question because what this bill does is actually clears up an ambiguity in the statutes because, as we recall, and for the benefit of some of the new members, when the Wildlife Trust Fund was set up, we set up small projects, anything under 200,000, large projects, anything over 200,000. Anything over 200,000 had to go before an oversight committee and to be approved, and then the oversight committee, which in this case then recommends it to the legislature as a whole. That's what Senate File 63 was that the good senator from Laramie County presented, which was the list. The ambiguity cuts both ways. Anything over $200,000 has to be approved. You could read it one way saying, then anything over that, let's say it's another $12, you might have to come back for approval or not. Or the other way you could possibly read it was once you've gotten the approval over $200,000, it could become a runaway project and they don't have to come back to it. That's the beauty of this bill, frankly. It keeps any future Wildlife Trust Fund board keeps them on the straight and narrow. So any project that comes in over $200,000, they get the approval. They have to get the approval. The next $200,000, which, as the good senator from Park County mentioned, is true in the Bates Creek project, going to be very soon. At the next $200,000 increment for it, they have to come back to get approval again from both the Oversight Committee and from the legislature in general. That way we can keep tabs on exactly what they're doing and how they're spending the money. On Senate File 63, rather, as people go through those projects, if there's a particular project that people don't think is worthy of their funds, they can come back on second or third reading and say, let's yank this project out, and we can debate that on the floor. What this does, frankly, is keeps the legislature, allows the legislature to keep closer tabs on the Wildlife Trust Fund and the board.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I still guess I'm confused. The area that I'm worried about is once it gets the $200,000, and let's say it has overruns and winds up being $300,000 instead of the other. Does it have to come back to the legislature for approval of the other $100,000? Because as I'm understanding this, and that's what I'm trying to get clarification on, as I'm understanding this, once they get approval for the $200,000, it could run up to an additional $199,000 without having any approval. And that bothers me. If we're going to have an approval process in there, then I think the approval process should have some flow and continuity because all of you know what happens with inflation. And if they can then go up to 199 over their original 200, that does not seem to me to be prudent. Now, I don't know that we should even be holding them to the 200,000, but if we are, and we are at this point in time, then you should not just have a free check from anything between the first 200 and the second 200, and this appears to be the case to me.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, under current statute, and that's what this is meant to clear up, once they get the original $200,000, let's say $210,000 approved as a big bill, as a big project, the current statute could be interpreted as saying then they're free and clear to spend $2 million on that same project. What this does is it holds them to $200,000 increments, and we have to trust them in between that. That's why we set the threshold at $200,000. If they could theoretically go in at another $199,000, but if the cumulative cost is another $200,000, they have to come back before us. So what this does is actually puts the brakes on them from being able to go well beyond the $200,000. If the good senator is worried about another $199,000, then he could easily bring an amendment to keep it at $100,000 increments in between. But that's what this bill does currently.
Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, not to belabor it, but I think it's a little ridiculous, frankly, to put the $200,000 limit on there. And I agree with you that as it is, they can go, you know, forever. But that leads to expansion of projects. Everyone knows what happens to projects like this or highways or anything else. The limit then comes off, and without having to have different approval, it really worries me of the way projects are handled. It can be manipulated, if you would, and I don't think we should do that, and I will probably try to find, if it is possible, a way to not just open the checkbook for another $200,000 with no control whatsoever. I'm not sure I even care that we put the first $200,000. But if we are, we shouldn't just have free rein for up to $199,000 if it's a project overrun. So I think, and I'd be happy to try to work with the chairman of the committee to try to find a way to address that problem.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I'm afraid I'm not being clear enough, and I apologize for that. Right now, under current statute, once they get the $200,000 approval on one of these projects, the current statute could be interpreted as giving them free rein to spend whatever they want from here on in. $199,000, another $199,000 would be chicken feed, would be a speed bump on their way to spend whatever they want. What this bill does is actually rein them in to another $200,000 they have to get approval before they can spend that.
Senator Geis.
What Senator Larson's talking about here is once you hit that 200 level, those projects should all be approved before they get to go and not just give them a free rein to go and another $200,000 on the project. It's okay to have the $200,000. But then after that, if those projects are going to keep going up, then they should come back to the legislature, just like water development and all those others, and not be able to keep going up as far as they want, as long as they keep it under $200,000.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I understand the nature of the concerns here. I just want to say something in general about the conduct of this board. With regard to being a member of this oversight committee, and we have worked very closely with them. This board has worked extremely hard to ensure that any project that comes into them, no matter how many years it may be out, that all the expenses are aggregated into that first request, and so that the fund and the board are not nickeled and dimed every year from here to eternity by unexpected costs. So they do work very hard to consolidate everything into one request and to look at the entire project at one time. And they want to be very responsible in that approach in dealing with the legislature as well.
Any further discussion? The question having been called earlier, all those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 69, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 69 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 52. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 52, Boards and Commissions Compensation, sponsored by the Management Council. It was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Job, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend. Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
Having heard the bill, what is your pleasure, Senator Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When the Committee of the Whole rises to report, I wish that it would do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 52 having to do with boards and commissions and compensation. There are no amendments, Mr. Chairman, so I'll go directly into explanation of the bill. Members of the body, earlier today I had passed out across the floor the handout that you see here that has my name, the date, and Senate File 52 and Senate File 55. The two bills are related, and I don't mean to confuse you, and I don't mean to refer too much to another bill, but Senate File 55, of course, is a feed bill. It'll be coming to you later, perhaps, but I think I wanted this bill, Senate File 52, that I'm about to discuss, refers to some of the raises in compensation and other things that occurred in Senate File 55 and how they might possibly affect other committees and commissions that have themselves associated with or tied to those raises. So having said that, this bill is not a long bill, but it has some subtleties and has some nuances in it that if you don't catch first time around, it can be a little confusing. And so I'm going to go rather slow and somewhat thorough at the expense of maybe some of you feeling like perhaps that I'm overdoing it. But anyway, my intent is to make sure that we understand what this bill is about. Of course, this is a bill that specifies how references to legislative salary and compensation, which are mentioned in the feed bill, is to be treated in statute setting compensation for persons other than legislators. So that gets into the intention of how compensation is made for other persons outside the legislature, and this then is the purpose of the bill. If you'll look page 13 or line 13 at the bottom of the page, section little a says the construction of all statutes of this state shall be by the following rules, unless the construction is plainly contrary to the intent of the legislature. And then we go into the new language of the bill that I put before you. It says, beginning on line 1, that references to legislative salary, per diem, or compensation in any statute establishing the amount of salary, per diem, or compensation is to be paid a person who is not a legislature shall be deemed a reference only. So this is to the rate of legislative salary, per diem, or compensation set by state statute and shall not be construed to authorize the payment. So that's the essence of Senate File 52 that you have before you, is to simply say that in regard to the raises that were offered in Senate File 55, that Senate File 55 will not directly impact that. If those other committees and commissions choose to raise their salaries, they do that at their own choosing and not necessarily at the statutory direction of those items that are included in Senate File 55. So having said that, I'm just going to call your attention to what would be the first sheet of the cover sheet to the handout I said had given you earlier. These are then the talking points in regard to Senate File 52 that's before us, and I'll go through those as briefly as possible with the idea that there's one other significant bill to come before us this morning. It says that the legislation that was enacted in 2005 session and that became effective in January 2009 will modify salary provisions for legislators. That's just a reference as to how that is done and when it was done. Going further down and skipping a little bit to the third paragraph on that page, it says a potential problem exists in that the statutes for a number of boards and commissions tie their salary and their per diem to that to be paid to legislatures. So as we go a little further down, unless we clarify that language, as we are here in 52, it says, the next paragraph that begins, that result was not intended by the 2005 legislation, and that was then in bold, only applied to salary changes for legislatures. So at the bottom it says, please note that this bill does not prohibit those boards and commissions for paying salary for travel days, et cetera, if the statute currently allows that. This bill, and the bottom line is, simply clarifies that the 2005 legislature is not the source
for that authority. I hope that I've explained it appropriately, and if not, I'd be glad to attempt to answer any further questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would then rest.
Discussion on the bill. Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Anderson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 52, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 52 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion is passed.
Three hours. We got 11:30 meeting. And this subdivision bill is going to take a little discussion. Subdivision bill. So we'll come back later.
What's that? Okay. Reports from standing committees.
Okay, we now have some reports from standing committees.
February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 68, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Job, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 57, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Job, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 67, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Job, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 61, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, Cole, Jennings, Massey, and Von Platern, Senator Cole, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 17, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, Cole, Jennings, Massey, and Von Platern, Senator Cole, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 22, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, Cole, Jennings, Massey, and Von Platern, Senator Cole, Chairman. February the 13th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 54, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, Cole, Jennings, Massey, and Von Platern, Senator Cole, Chairman. February the 12th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 48, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, Case, Jennings, Mockler, and Ross, Senator Anderson, Chairman. February the 12th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 53, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Job, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. Vice President, I move that the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m.
Are there any announcements? Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. You probably all received a revised committee notice for the Minerals Committee, the time of the meeting due to another meeting relative to the GE project and some energy things. The time of the committee meeting has been revised till 1 o'clock, till 1 p.m. in S-18, at which time we will consider Senate File 44, Senate File 45, and Senate File 19. This will enable the Minerals Committee to attend the briefing on the GE energy proposal and to be in attendance at that. Sorry for the late change, but that's it.
Senator Case.
Am I on?
You're on.
Am I live?
You're up.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, Committee Number 3, Revenue, will meet Thursday, February 14th, 20 minutes after the lunch recess. We'll take up Senate File 28, Investment of State Funds Revisions, Senate File 49, Impact Assistance Payments. And Mr. Vice President, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Note the time change. To take up Senate File 18, Business Entities Revisions, Senate File 26, Business Entities Registered Agents. And if time permits, we'll move on to Senate File 41, Vacating
Thank you. Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President, your Rules Committee will meet on Thursday, February 14th on adjournment. We'll take up a change in the rules for absentee voting in standing committees, a rule on addressing electronic decorum, and we will take up amendments to the Wyoming Manual of Legislative Procedures. If you have any other rule changes that you want considered and dealt with appropriately in the Rules Committee, I would suggest that you, or respectfully ask that you get them in perhaps today so we can have them all ready to go when the Rules Committee meets. Per our Senate rules, any member of the Senate can bring a rule change to the committee, and we will consider it at that time if you want it to apply during this budget session. Mr. Vice President, you all should have got a handout from LSO dealing with a briefing that is scheduled to start at 11:30 up in room 302 with General Electric Company, the University of Wyoming, and the legislature. Mr. Vice President, I would strongly encourage any senator that can attend this to do so. It'll last about an hour. You'll receive, I hope, a very good and clear explanation from both the university and a team that we have here in Cheyenne from General Electric on a cooperative venture to do research in enhanced coal usage. That includes generation of power, liquefaction, gasification, all of those things that perhaps will pave the way for the future of our coal industry. In addition, we'll talk about the partnership with the University and the School of Energy. They will be available to answer questions. I urge you to ask them. There's about and this is in your budget, about a $20 million price tag to buy into this game, but I encourage you to come and get informed on it. It is an opportunity to perhaps get well informed on this prior to the budget. Again, it's at 11:30 up in 302, a briefing from General Electric and the University of Wyoming. I urge your attendance.
Thank you, Mr. President. Are there any other announcements? Senator Coe?
Mr. Vice President, something tomorrow. Our consultants that have helped us through the recalibration process, Pikus and Autumn, will have a session tomorrow at noon up in 302 to go over the allocation of resources that have been approved by this body through the school funding model. This is an opportunity for you to go up and see how the money is being spent. This is something that we were very, very adamant about as we worked our way through recalibration, the transparency of the model. Now let's have a look at how the districts have chosen to spend that block grant. So that'll be tomorrow at noon up at 302. They will also schedule other sessions in the afternoon as the workload at the House and the Senate allows. So think about that. If you'd like to go up and see how the money's being spent, this would be a good opportunity.
Senator. I'm here. Mr. Vice President, tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, we'll have two U.S. Forest Service people in 302 to talk about all of our national forests in the state of Wyoming, and I'd like to see a few other senators show up there to ask questions besides just our Ag Committee. Thank you.
Senator Almond, thank you.
Just a reminder, everybody should have had this announcement handed out to you, and it's inviting you all to a luncheon next Monday. I just wanted to get it on your schedule. In it, they're going to serve food from the Olive Garden, so that's probably good. And it's from the Governor's Council of Developmental Disabilities. And right following your lunch, for dessert, we're going to meet up in the room just above in 1699 at the Hersler Building. And a group of us went to Chicago to talk about substance abuse. And we were very impressed with a speaker there. And his name was Dr. David Friedman. And he's going to give a speech on the biology of addiction and public policy. We were very impressed with him, and we wanted to bring him here because, as you know, in the past, last year, this year, and in the coming years, you're going to hear more about substance abuse and mental health problems. This Dr. Friedman really has some very important information just to explain why we are asking for the money that we are. So I encourage all of you to do this, and we will remind you again later.
Thank you. Further announcements? Seeing none, you've heard the motion. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon.